All right, let's look into chapter 21. This is a precious portion, and we're just going to get part of it tonight with the help of the Lord. Chapter 21 corresponds with Ecclesiastes. In chapter 21 and 22, we have four burdens, and they're linked together by an emblem, each one as an emblem. I'll give you the four burdens. In verses 1 to 10, we have the burden of the desert of the sea, and this, as we'll find out, is Babylon. In verses 11 and 12 of chapter 21, we have the burden of Duma and Seir, which is Edom. In verses 13 to 17, and I have these underlined in my Bible, we have the burden of Arabia, and also read the oracle in the evening. It's interesting. We'll get to that later. And then in the 22nd chapter, in the first verse, we have the burden of the valley of vision, or in my margin, or the twilight that I desired. And we'll get into that. It's a wonderful truth here. All right, I believe we'll read the section we want to look at tonight. From verses 1 through 10, the burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, this is Persia, besiege, O Media, all the signs thereof have I made to see. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pains have taken hold upon me as the pains of a woman that travaileth. My margin says here, I am pained so that I cannot bear. I cannot hear, excuse me. I cannot hear. And then my margin says, I am dismayed so that I cannot see. This is Isaiah himself. My heart panteth. Fearfulness affrighteth me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, Go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, A lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am fed in my ward whole night. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. And then the 10th verse, he talks to Israel. O my threshing, the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. Before we get into the exposition of this, I want to read this out of this other translation, the first four verses. As sweep the whirlwind through the south, so comes it from the desert, from the land that strikes with terror. Oh, cruel is the vision that is shown me. The spoiler, he is spoiling still. The waster, he is wasting. Up then, Elam, up. Besiege, O me, besiege. So will I make all those signs to see. Remember who was in Babylon at this time? You remember who was there? The captives out of Israel. They were there in the land of Babylon. Daniel was one of them. They were there for 70 years. For this are my loins of anguish filled. Pains of affliction have seized me, as the pains of a woman in travail. I reeve at the hearing, and amazed at the seeing. Wildly my heart beats. Horrors affright me. Even the calm of the twilight I love hath he turned for me into quaking. Quite a section. I like to enter into these prophets, to the spirit of these prophets. This that Isaiah is prophesying here is given to him 2 centuries before it was fulfilled. Now, we're told of scripture that is Revelation, that all of this that we have in prophecy, it was spoken thousands of years before it's going to finally be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit looks down all the years to the end time, and he knows what's going to be fulfilled. Isaiah was allowed to enter into what Israel was going to go through and what these other countries were going to go through. This burden is called the desert of the sea. It's called a desert. Let's go over to Revelation 17:3. This is Babylon. Keep this in mind. This is Babylon. And here, especially, religious Babylon. But I believe we could include more than just religion. In chapter 17, and I'm going to start with the first verse. This is concerning Babylon, the mother of abominations. And she's making fast proceeding in swiftness, I'll put it that way today. Revelation 17, this is the judgment on religious Babylon. And there came one of the seven angels. These are the full overcomers, which had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, telling John, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and they are. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in spirit, and he is not in the original. He carried me away in spirit, where? Into the wilderness, into the desert. Saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. These are the nations, as we have in the previous chapter. Full of blasphemy and having seven heads and 10 horns. These are the nations. She's going to control, in other words. But she's sitting in the wilderness, and this is where John is carried to see her. Babylon, as we said, means confusion. In Genesis 11, we see that the Tower of Babel, man tried to build a tower to heaven, and God toppled it. And it's this desert world that the harlot and her daughters dwell. They don't dwell in the heavenly. And there's no spiritual water in this desert. Let's go to Psalms 63:1. These are marvelous truths. And I just feasted, and I had a fight, as I said today, but with the enemy. But, oh, thank the Lord. Psalms 63. We're living in this world today, in this desert. But this is what David prayed when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Oh God, thou art my God. Can we all say that? I know we can. Early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I sing thee in the sanctuary. This is where David was. He was in a dry and thirsty land, and that's where we are today. And as we said, when Isaiah wrote this, Babylon had not even come into the place of dominion over the whole earth. Remember the vision that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar? We saw that image. Daniel interpreted it. Babylon was that head of gold. He was the first Gentile world ruler. And Isaiah writes about this, as we said, almost two centuries before it happened. And here he sees an invading army sweeping along. And it, this first verse, as whirlwinds in the south it passes through, reminds him of a windstorm in the southern desert where nothing can obstruct it. We've been in the desert and you see a windstorm come through and we've had our engine get so full of dust from it that we had to stop. You couldn't even drive your car. This is worse. This is how he sees this army that's coming. And then in the second verse, he gives the cause of this army coming. He says, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. This dealer was Belshazzar. And his name means Lord of Destruction. And he dealeth treacherously, and he is spoiled by his idol worship. And we're going to read after a bit over Daniel 5, but I want to bring all of this in first. So God tells Elam, or Persia, and he tells Media, tells Persia to go up. He tells Media, the Medes and the Persians, the second, the one with the arms on the image, Medo-Persia, to be sieged, and then the size, notice here, the sign thereof have I made to see, the size of the Babylonians that have oppressed the prisoners will cease. As we said, remember who was there. Daniel was carried there. Ezekiel was there. They were there 70 years. Let's read Psalms 137, 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord. The word is true. Nothing is going to change it. Psalms 137, 1, 1 and 2. Oh, I want to maybe calm down. This is a lament of the Jewish people in exile. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. Well, they wouldn't have been there had they not been rebellious to the Lord. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But every time I read this, if this is like a tantalizing. You're here in Babylon. A Christian can get out of fellowship with the Lord, and people of the world can say, oh, let me hear one of your songs that you used to sing. Have you ever been through that? I thought you were a Christian. Let me hear you sing one of your songs. See, this is what they were doing to these people of Israel, that they couldn't sing. They hung their hearts upon the willows. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? When we're in the world, it's a strange land. We can't sing. When we're part of the world, we can't sing either. Well, that's all I wanted to read there. Elam, here in the second verse, as we said, is Persia. But Elam means their heap, H-E-A-T-S. And this is what they made Babylon, a heap. And Media, this is so marvelous to me. The meaning of these names, just Gideon. Media means he of the measured. This is Jackson. He of the measured. Now who is this? Who had measured out the years of Israel's captivity? In God? Let's go to Jeremiah 25:11. Oh dear ones, let's take God's word as truth. Don't try to turn away from it. I was thinking the other morning about truth. I'll just unfold it then. Truth. Who is truth? It's Jesus. If any of God's people, and this is who we're concerned about, if any turn away from truth, you know they're going to make full circle and come around and face him again. They're going to face him. Every man is going to stand before God and give an account. If we reject truth, we're going to come around and face him again. But it came to me. I thought, it would be a terrible thing to reject truth. People don't take this serious. Jeremiah 25, I'm not saying you, I'm saying them about 25:11. And this whole land shall be a desolation, talking about Israel, and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Over the 29th chapter of Jeremiah and the 10th verse. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word unto you in causing you to return to this place, right back to the nation Israel. They were going to be there 70 years. And at that time, this is when Medo Persia came up. And this is what Isaiah sees in this vision 2 centuries before it even happened. Now, are there any thoughts or questions? I want to go on, but I want to leave room for any thoughts as we go through. Right. You saw this before, the handwriting on the wall that we'll read in Daniel. They were two Elam men, and Cyrus was over Media. I couldn't remember this. Cyrus. And I think Darius was over me. All back here in the Word. Now, how would you feel, and how do we feel, concerning the things that are coming upon this world? We know what's coming. We can read it right here in the Word. How do we feel about it? Do we feel sorrow, though, for those that are going to go through it? This is what Isaiah tells. Now, notice here what happens to him in verses 3 and 4. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. So this affected him. the scene that he saw. It affected every part of his body, his loins, and he says, pains have taken a hold upon me as the pains of a woman that travaileth. That is pain. I've never experienced it, but I know it's pain. I was bowed down at the hearing, or as we said, the Margin says, I am pained as though that I cannot hear. So his hearing was affected. And his sight, I am dismayed so that I cannot see. Then the next verse, he says, my heart panteth, fearful of affrighted me. His heart was affected. And in the evening time, when he could have had rest and enjoyed it, quiet hours, it was turned into fear because of what he saw, these armies coming to destroy this nation of Babylon. After 70 years, God comes with this nation. It was a terrible thing that he saw. All right, in this fifth verse, he sees a scene of a banquet, the banquet hall, where revelry was at night. Prepare the table, he says, watch in the watchtower. They put a watchman up to watch the watchtower to see if any enemy was coming. But they said, prepare the table, prepare the banquet. Eat, drink. What does Jesus say in Matthew? Eat, drink, for tomorrow we may die. This is what they were doing. Eat, drink. Arise, ye princes. Now, this is a change here. Prepare the table, watch the watchtower, the watchman is in the watchtower, and they were eating and they were drinking. The other version says, set the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink. Then suddenly, a shout comes from the watchman, and this shout causes an alarm. He says, arise, ye princes, or up, princes, up, the shield anoint. This crisis is so sudden that the watchman can only bark out a few words. He's so surprised by what he sees. And notice, anoint the shield. This is a precious truth. These people were very complacent. You know Christians that are complacent today? They just feel like, well, this world's going to go on, and I've got my own little empire here, and nobody's going to destroy my little empire, whatever that empire may be. But these princes should have been out with the soldiers, but they were here in revelry. And they hadn't anointed their shield many years ago when we were teaching Ephesians, that the shield of faith, put a take unto you the shield of faith. These shields were made of a particular leather, and unless they were anointed, they got hard and they got brittle, and they had to be anointed. What's the anointing? The Holy Spirit. This shield is the shield of faith, Ephesians 6. Take unto you above all, it says there, the shield of faith. For what purpose? Let's read that. There's a purpose we're to take this shield of faith. See, these people here were having a good time. The shields had become dry, parched. You know, a lot of Christians today, the shields are dry and parched. They're not walking by faith. They're building their little empires in this world, whatever it may be. An empire can be a house, an empire can be a little business, an empire can be anything in this world that we make it. But we walk by faith and not by sight. 6:16 of Ephesians. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, if those darts hit a shield and it isn't oiled, it will crack that shield. It will break that shield. I wanted to look into this some more, but there's so much here. But the shield has to be oiled by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it comes through the Word of God. As we read the Word of God and take the time, nothing in this world is as important as getting into this Word and soaking it up, and let it become part of you, and let the Holy Spirit begin to anoint it and make it real in our lives. There's nothing, I don't care what it is, if the Lord comes tomorrow, it wouldn't be worth a nickel, a lead dime, we used to say. Everything here is going to be destroyed. Everything. I don't care what it is. We may spend our time building something, but it's going to be destroyed. This is truth. God's word is truth. And you know, there's nothing negative about truth. I like that. If truth is foretelling what God has purposed for all mankind, if truth is yea and amen, isn't it? It doesn't say it isn't a, it's a negative. It says it's yea and amen, and that's truth. It's nothing negative. I want to go over to Isaiah 30. Oh, I tell you, there's so much in this that is so practical for us today. And I was so stirred by these truths. And this is what many of God's people are doing today. Just exactly what Israel did. And we read of their history. We read of how God chastised them. And they read it like, oh, well, that will happen to me. Well, it will if we don't yield, go on and yield to the Lord. It takes a pursuing. It takes a running. It takes a sack. It takes a sack. Isaiah 30. This is speech, chapter speaks of Judah's failure and God's faithfulness. In the 8th verse, God tells Isaiah, now go write it before them. And we're not going into what he was to write at this time, but write it in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. You believe that? This is forever and ever. That this is to be a rebellious people, talking about Israel, and they still are. Lying children, children that will not hear the word of the Lord. You know God, some of God's people like that? They don't want to hear the word of the Lord. Why? Because it convicts. And they say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. And notice, prophesy deceit. And that's what the enemy does. He's deceitful. They don't want to hear the truth that gets into the heart and cuts away the flesh and gets down into the heart and digs out things that do not belong there. They don't want that done. Many of God's people think they know the word, but we're not perfect until God takes us home. We need the word. We need to, every time the door opens at a meeting, and if we can be here, there's so much out in the world. Satan is deceitful. He'll use any trick to get us to not hear the word of God. And notice what they tell him. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Isn't that sad? This one that brought them through the Red Sea, delivered them out of Egypt from bondage, from what they were in, they were slaves. And they tell him to cease. And I was reading the other day about when they crossed the Jordan, or the Red Sea and Jordan both. You know, it says there they went over on dry ground. You know what? A river or a sea, if God didn't have done that miracle, water that stands in a creek or a river or a sea is muddy, and they would have sunk in their shoes into that river or that bed if God hadn't dried it up. But that was a miracle. He dried that seabed and that river bed up so they can go over on dry ground. I just thought so many things. The Lord makes it so precious. The 12th verse here says, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in the high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an end. And it's been sudden destruction. Remember what's going to happen? And they shall say peace and safety with the Antichrist and walk present. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. This judgment is going to be so complete. And I love this 15th verse. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence and in confidence shall be your strength. And then they said, and ye would not. And God said, they would not. They wouldn't return. It's a sad thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. All right, let's go back to our chapter. Now, this is God's word, and judgment is sad. But God's walking, and I was reading the other day a scripture, and I couldn't locate it today. It says, the judge standeth at the door. You know, he's standing at the door today. He's walking right in our midst, Revelation 1. And he's looking in every heart. I'm glad he can. This sixth verse here, he says, for thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. Here, Isaiah is portrayed as a watchman, and he sees a military force, not only the cavalry, but he sees asses and camels. And these were used in warfare in that day. Some of these asses and camels were taken into the fighting line, and as they went into the fighting line, they drew the enemy into confusion. I can see an ass and a donkey going into the fighting line. But today, it would really be a picture, wouldn't it? But this is what he saw. This is what they used. And he cried, the eighth verse, a lion. My Lord, I stand constantly upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I'm set in the ward the whole night. In this other rendition it says, then he cried as a lion, high on the watchtower. My Lord, I am standing. And this Lord is capitalized. Watch and ward keeping day after day, day my watch keeping night after night. I could have gotten off on this today and studied about the watchman. That's what all of us are, really, the minister especially, but all of us are ministers. We're watchmen. We are to watch and we're to warn. This is the responsibility God has put upon us. We watch during the daytime. We watch during the night. We watch God's people whom the Lord has set us over. All right, let's see the fulfillment of this in Daniel 5. Just briefly, we'll read this. In this other version, yes, he's talking. Isaiah's talking here to the Lord. And he knew. Thank the Lord, he knew him. But notice if you have the dates in your Bible, in mine, it's 702 B.C. in Isaiah. You know, in Daniel, it's 538. Let's start with the first verse. I don't think we'll read it clear through, but we'll kind of skip here. This is when this Babylonian empire was overthrown, and the Medes and the Persians came. Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who, as we know, invaded and had these dreams. And came to know the Lord, as the fourth verse says, fourth chapter tells us. That Belshazzar didn't know the Lord. Chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to a thousand of his lords and drank wine before the thousand. Don't we see what we just read? Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father, and really it was his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. See, when Nebuchadnezzar went in there, they carried away all the vessels of the temple. And here they were using them in this idol worship. That the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. That then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, and of brass, of iron, and wood, and of stone. Material things. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's tower. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance, or his brightness, was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose. His knees smote one against another. He knew what it was. He knew it was something unusual. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation of it shall be clothed with scarlet or purple, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. And the queen mother, by reason of the words of the king and his lord, came to the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. And she says in the 11th verse, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of thy father, which is his grandfather, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the God, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, and I say, thy father, made him master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Now notice what was in him. For as much as an excellent spirit, he's speaking to Daniel, and knowledge, and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubt, were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called. He was about 85 years old at this time. And he was shown the interpretation. Remember, he was carried over there when he was about 16 or 17. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? Because I heard of you. That's in the 16th verse. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubt. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, I'll do all this for you. 17th verse, then Daniel answered and said before the king, Lest thy gift be to thyself and give thy reward to another. Yet he didn't want any material things. He was 85 years old. He didn't have any need for them. He was a spiritual man. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty and glory and honor. He's telling this to Belshazzar. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, whom he had powered in him, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. We're talking about Babylon, and this system is still in force today. It's going to rise up. It's laying just kind of silent. It's working behind the scenes, but it's going to come forth, and it's going to rule. Definitely, it's going to rule and do just like Nebuchadnezzar did before God got a hold of him. Man thinks he can do what he wants, but he's not going to. Verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed of his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men. His heart, notice here, his heart was made like the beast. You know, ungodly man is like this today. Romans 1. Read Romans 1. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. What the ass speak of? The whole creation. And they fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of man. This is El Elyon, the Most High God. And that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Keep this in mind in what this country is going through today. Nebuchadnezzar learned it the hard way. This nation's going to learn it the hard way too. That God appoints over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his grandson, should be, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Again, many of God's people know these things, see, but they're not listening, right? Just like Belshazzar. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou, thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines, have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods with silver and material things, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? You know, every breath we take, God gives it to us. Our next breath, he could take from us, right, anytime he wanted to. Quite a God. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, meaning Tekel, Euphrates, this is plural of Persia, Euphrates. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel or Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Oh, what a statement. Many, many. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Isn't that what we just read in Isaiah? Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, or the Babylonians, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And if you want to go on and read this, the other rulers in the kingdom became jealous of him, and at 85 years old, he was cast into the den of lions. A lot of people have the idea he was a young man when they did that, but no, he wasn't. It was the fifth time that they cast him into that den of lions, and the Lord shut the lion's mouth. And forth with these trumpets. The eighth verse, and there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. And that's just what we read there, that's quoted from this chapter. Because she made all nations, this is the reason, because she made all nations drink of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. She got the nations drunk upon her. She controlled them. She had such power. And over in the 18th chapter of Revelation, in the second verse, but I want to read from the first verse. This is not a very pretty picture of religious Babylon, but we see it everywhere today. Organized Christendom, the daughters, are part of this system. They, quote, work for hire. They include the ministry as any occupation, and it's not. The ministry is something that God calls you into, to give out the word, not to please and tickle. As Paul says in Timothy, itching ears. What is that? But that we read in Isaiah 30. But let's read this in Revelation 18. First verse. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. And this is Jesus Christ himself, having great power. And won't that be wonderful? And the earth was lightened with his glory. No one else could do that but Jesus Christ. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication. He's repeating this, fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. This is in the middle of the week, the middle of the seven years. And he's calling to people that are in this system, yet his people, to come out. So he doesn't have to judge them along with Babylon, this religious Babylon, because they will receive of her plagues just as Israel did. When I read this in the second verse, it's become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. Remember who sat in the church of Pergamos? Go over to Revelation 3. Who had a seat there? Revelation 2. This is the church of Pergamos. Pergamos means much marriage of the world. This world system, religious system, is married to the world. They're trying to build up things here, not doing what the Lord wants us to do. The second verse, he says, I know that he comes to them with a sharp sword with two edges. He wanted to judge them. He says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. That's where they were dwelling. Down here. His seat's down here. And that's where this church was dwelling. Well, let's read on there. And thou holdest fast my name. They call themselves Christian, but they're not Christian. They are professors, many of them. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. And they have the doctrine of Balaam, that's hireling ministry. And they hold, in the 15th verse, they hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is clergy over laity, and he tells them to repent, or else, I will come unto thee quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. This is Jehovah Makkah, and I love those titles. This is how he'll come. He'll fight against them. This is the church, the true church. But some in this church are believers. Well, of course, the church are all believers. But some are still in these systems. And they won't come out. They want to stay in there because of acceptance of the social atmosphere, whatever it may be. But they're staying there instead of coming out. Part of us because of the persecution. But all that proud religious man is built on this earth is going to come to an end. Many are called Christian works, but the Christ isn't even in them. They want to hear, as you read, smooth things, and they do it for hire. They're soothing to the conscience of man. And they have a message of optimism. They say, peace and prosperity. Everything's going to be okay, just like they told Israel, those false prophets. Oh, don't worry. Babylon's not going to come over here and carry you captive. This is what the false prophets told them, that God did come, and this is truth. And this is what we're giving tonight, is truth. This 10th verse, as we said back in our lesson in chapter 21, he's turning again to his own nation, Isaiah is, and speaks as Jehovah's representative. Now I'm going to read this out of this other rendition. O thou, my threshing and my captive life, my threshing, and the child of my threshing floor. Again, he's talking to Israel. What I have heard from Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, I have declared unto you. I think that's what every Isaiah could say today. That we that give the word out, we have declared what God has said unto you. And he speaks in tenderness here as a parent who chastises a child. And I suffered in doing so. When you chastise your children, then it hurts. It hurt me worse than it did them. But they needed it. And this is what God here through Isaiah is telling the nation Israel. That God used the nations to thresh Israel. And God is going to do it again. And he's going to bring forth a remnant. Then, after they've been threshed, they themselves are going to become the thresher. Let's go to Micah, little book of Micah. So rich. After Jonah, as Glenn spoke from Sunday, you can find it in Micah, the 4th chapter. And I'm going to begin with the 11th verse. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. They're doing this so they will defile her holy place. And I've thought of that with this Islam. When I read that the other day, Islamic, we don't know what power they're going to have, but we know that the Antichrist is going to set an image up in the holy place and that it will be defiled. That's why it says, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord. What nation does know the thoughts of the Lord today? We don't know his thoughts until we get into this word, do we? Here in this book of Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. We need to get into this book, don't we, to find out the thoughts of the Lord. Neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as a sheaves into the floor. And then he tells Israel, arise, O thresh, O daughter of Zion. This is this remnant. For I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate or devote their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Isn't that a scripture? See, they're going to be the thresher. God's going to make this little remnant so strong that they're going to be able to conquer all the nations. Well, that'd be wonderful. Your supernatural power he's going to give to them. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, that's where we're going to end tonight. Thank the Lord. And I hope you got as much out of it as I did. It's rich. Praise the Lord. It's marvelous how the Holy Spirit showed this to Isaiah. Any questions? Do we understand it?